Let me ask you this afternoon, one more time. Turn with me to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. There is a piece of this which will be repetitive from last Sunday and this morning, but there is enough here that's going to be different. And this is a passage and a truth that I am thoroughly convinced that as Christians, we must understand and we must live with this awareness. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 10, and I'm going to read down through and including verse 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes, that is, the wiles, the strategies, the tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Verse 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which we can extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. This passage, as we know, is about conflict. This is about war. This is about the battle to the end. The Apostle Paul, the man who wrote this passage, at the time of his own death, the Apostle recorded these words in 2nd Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the course, run the course. And he says, I have kept the faith. Paul said that the Christian life was the fighting of a fight, the running and completion of a race, and the keeping of faith. Now, brethren, just like the Apostle Paul, you and I must fight the fight. Just like Paul, you and I must not only run, but we must complete the course. And just like the Apostle Paul, there is a faith that you and I must keep. But thank God tonight that this fight we fight, that this race we run, that this faith we keep, we do not have to do this in our own power. In verse 10, we are told that we do this with the strength of Jesus. Again, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, he said that our sufficiency is in Christ and not in ourselves. We have to remember that. This isn't about just what I can do. This is about what I can do in the strength of Jesus and with the armor of God. Now, brethren, this war on which all of us are a part of, this war is a war that we fight under the authority and in the presence of Jesus. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he sent out the disciples saying that all authority, Matthew 28:18, all power has been given to me. Now, you go and make disciples, teaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. And then what did he say? Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So as you battle, as I battle in this war, we do this under the authority, the power, and in the presence of Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, listen to the words. Peter says, according to his divine power. Brethren, divine power is the power of God. According to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything I need for life, everything I need to live godly, everything I need to conduct, to fight this battle, to ward off this enemy, the power of God and the goodness of God has given these things to me. Listen to the words. Ephesians 3 and in verse 20, unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above all that we ask or think. Now listen to it. According to the power that worketh in us. Now watch the next step carefully. We have a fight that we must engage in. We have a race we must finish. We have a faith that we have got to keep. And we have got the presence, we have got the power, we have got the strength of Jesus working in us. But brethren, realize that as we battle, we need all the help we can get because of the enemy that we face. Let me tell you three things about the enemy before I hit this armor. The enemy is powerful. He's powerful. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this next statement. I think the really sad reality among Christians, I'm not talking about them out there, I'm talking about us in here. I think the sad reality among many of us is either, brethren, we are failing to see or we're failing to admit the power and the formability of the enemy that we are facing. Listen, the descriptions of the Bible are screaming to us about the power that our enemy, the devil, has. Look how he's described. A roaring lion. What is the lion? King of the jungle. The devil isn't a pussycat. He's a lion. He is a powerful lion who is seeking to devour us, not befriend us. How is the devil described? Beelzebub. What is Beelzebub? Beelzebub is the ruler of the demons. The devil isn't just a demon. The devil is the ruler of the demons. He's in charge. That's our enemy. Our enemy is evil. Our enemy is powerful. Listen to one more description here. In Revelation 12 and in verse 9, John calls him the great dragon. In Greek mythology and in apocalyptic language, which John is using in Revelation, the dragon was a very powerful beast. But now listen to me. Here's how John describes him. John says he is a red dragon who has 7 heads and 10 horns. Watch the description. He is a red dragon. The red is blood. The blood he is dripping is not his own. The blood that he is dripping in Revelation 12 is the blood of the saints. John says he has 7 heads. Heads is the symbol for wisdom. The devil isn't a dummy. 7 is the number of completion. He is very wise. He has 10 horns. Horns is the symbol for power. Our enemy is a bloody, wise, powerful being who has set out after you and has set out after me, and we need to get a hold of this. He is powerful. The second description of the enemy is that he's evil. Paul refers to him in Ephesians 6 as the evil one. Listen to me. He will put sickness on you. He will put persecution on you. He will tear up your kids. He will tear up your marriage. He will tear up your home. He is evil. He is corrupt. He is totally corrupt. He is powerful and he is evil. Are you listening to me? The combination of power and evil in one thing is a scary, scary combination. But the third thing we need to be reminded of about this enemy is that he is also cunning. He is a lying, sneaking, conniving, tricking dog. Now he just is. He is. And if you begin to engage into this battle, and if you've got any kind of thought or any kind of imagination that he isn't as powerful, that he isn't as evil, and that he isn't as cunning as God addresses him in the Bible, you will be a casualty out there in that battlefield. And some preacher someday will stand up and you will be an illustration in his sermon about what happens when you underestimate the evil one. Now let's put this together. I have a fight that I got to fight. I got a race I got to complete. I have to do this. I have a faith that I got to hold on to. And I have help. But I also realize that I'm up against a powerful enemy. So the question that I'm asking tonight is this: how do we stand with all this? And the way we stand is by taking on the armor of God. Now, I want us to look quickly at this armor, but I want to show you some things that we haven't touched yet about this armor in the last two lessons. I want you to understand that the armor that's being described here is the armor that was used by the Roman soldiers in the ancient Roman Empire. And as Paul writes to the church in the city of Ephesus, this was a figure and this was something that everybody clearly understood. They understood the dress of the Roman soldier, and that's what Paul is likening the armor to. Now, let's quickly look at the armor, but I want you to note some things we haven't seen. Look at verse 14. He says, "Stand therefore, fastening on the belt of truth." The belt of truth. The Roman soldier wore a very long and a very loose robe. When the battle would begin, and when the soldier would begin to engage the enemy in the battle, the soldier would take up this robe and he would tuck the robe into the belt. This is what is referred to as the girding up of the loins. He would take this loose robe and tuck it into the belt as he began to fight. Now, why would the soldier do this? The reason he would do this is so that he would not be restricted as he engaged in battle with the enemy. Do you understand what I'm telling you? This belt was very important because this belt would be used to tuck in this robe, and that way, as he fought the fight, as he battled the enemy,
he would not be inhibited in his movement, and he could battle to the best of his ability. Now, brethren, listen to me and just be honest with your own self. Are there any loose ends in your life you need to be shoring up? Is there anything in your life that is inhibiting you in your battle against the evil one? Is there any restriction? Is there anything in your life? And it may not even be a sinful thing. A lot of times, our biggest battle isn't between good and bad. It's between what's good and what's best. I'm doing this, but I could be doing this, and this be a lot better than what I am doing. Amen. Is there any thing that's restricting you, inhibiting you, that if you got rid of it, you could be more of what you ought to be in the army of Christ? That's only a question you can answer. Look what he says, verse 14. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate was something that the Roman soldier put on. It covered him from his neck to his thighs. This breastplate is not just something he would hold up. This breastplate was something that he wore. It covered him. He put it on. Listen to me. In Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27, Paul said, "We are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us," listen to it, and then help me finish the verse. "For as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ." Put on Christ. That expression, put on Christ, means that we are clothed with Christ. When we are converted, when we are baptized at our conversion, we are clothed with Christ. That's why God is able to accept us. God is completely holy. Listen, you and I are completely unholy. How does that which is perfectly righteous look upon that which is perfectly unrighteous? It's because we who are perfectly unrighteous have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and thank God for Jesus. Righteousness. Listen, listen. Without righteousness, there is no relationship with God. Without righteousness, I don't have a good influence. This breastplate, this is something they put on. And when we are converted, we put on Christ. We are clothed in His righteousness. And that's how we are able to stand before a God who's perfectly righteous. Don't ever get Christianity so twisted that you think it's about you've done something. This ain't about what we do. This is about what God did. I'm about to get excited. So let me draw back. You know I ain't going to draw back long. Look at verse 15. And as shoes for your feet,
having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The shoes, sandals of the Roman soldiers had two purposes. Number one, obviously they helped him in his movement, in his travel, and in his running, but that wasn't the big thing. The big thing about the Roman soldiers' sandals is that they were used for a sturdy stance. They were used for a sturdy stance because on the bottom of the Roman soldiers' sandals, there were sharp nails. So when he engaged in battle, he could set his feet. And as he set his feet were sturdy so that while he was engaging in the battle, listen to me, he wouldn't slip. While he was engaging in the battle, he wouldn't fall. Brethren, we must be careful as we engage the devil. We can slip. We can fall. But it's through the gospel that we're able to take this stance where we're able to live as we ought to live so that we don't fall or that we don't slip. But engaging in the battle, be careful you don't fall. Listen to what he says. Verse 16. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the evil one. Now, the shield, and there's actually been excavated and discovered shields from the ancient Roman soldiers. These shields were huge things. These shields were like 4 foot long and 2 foot wide. I mean, it was almost like a door. Now, what was the shield for? The soldier would hold up the shield. The shield was so that he could shield himself from the enemy. Brethren, our shield, listen to me, our shield is faith. Our shield is our trust in God. My shield in this battle against the devil is my total confidence in God. My shield is my total confidence that every promise that God has ever made, God will sustain me in that promise. That's my shield. So you know what I do? I go back and look at the faith of Abraham. Take that boy, your only boy, to Mount Moriah and kill him. Early the next morning, Abraham took off. That's faith. Now, there have been times when you think you wanted to kill one of your sons, but you really didn't. That's faith. But do we have that kind of faith? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. But do we really trust that? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ constantly, continually cleanses me from my sin. But do I live with that confidence? Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But do we really believe that? My shield in this battle is my confidence that every promise God ever made me, that's what's going to sustain me. I can't get out there and sustain myself. I'll be dead in 5 minutes out there. Listen to what he says. We're almost there. Listen to what he says. Verse 17, first part. And take the helmet of salvation. Now listen to me and don't misunderstand this, but I'm gonna make this plain. I'm saved. And I know I'm saved. There is absolutely no power or force that can take me away from God. Now I can choose to walk away, but outside of that, nothing else can separate me from the love of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, John said, 1 John 5:13, I have written these things to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. I don't hope I'm saved, I know I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved, I know I'm saved. I don't know it because of me, I know it because I know Him. And as I fight the battle, I'm fighting the battle as one who is saved. Devil, you are not taking away from me what I have in God. So we can just throw down right here. Finally, look what he says. The preacher just said the word that every member of the church wants to hear. From the first time he starts, finally. Finally, let's get through this first part so we can go to the next part. Look at the end of verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now listen and I'm done. The sword was the Roman soldier's only offensive weapon. Look at the armor. The only offensive weapon he had was his sword. The only offensive weapon we have to fight the devil is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. But when we put on the armor and take up the Word of God, that's all the weapon we need to beat Him. Verse 18, watch how prayer is involved in all of this. He says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication to that end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication to all the saints. The Roman soldier, the pagan Roman soldier, didn't have this. But we have prayer. And how prayer works into this is that we put on the armor of God. We take up the Word of God. And then after we have done that, what continues to sustain and maintain us is prayer. I beg you to understand that this battle is real. This is real. The devil is as real as ISIS. The devil is as real as the terrors. Not that one back there. But there may be some demon in that one back there, but that's a whole other deal. Do you hear what I'm telling you? It's real. It's real. And we need to understand it's real. And we need to understand that it involves each of us. And the only hope we have of winning this fight, finishing this race, and keeping our faith is that we understand the enemy and that we equip ourselves for the battle and take hold of it. Because if you underestimate any of that, you're going to have a hard, hard road home in trying to make it. This afternoon, if you're here, if you're away from God, this afternoon, if you need to seek the prayers of this body, we are here to help you. If you need to come, do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.